Revelation chapter 22, and we'll just read the words of the verse 16. Revelation 22 and the verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Amen. We trust the Lord to bless those words to our hearts. And we're looking at the end of the verse then this evening, the last in our studies on the I Ams in Revelation. I am the bright and morning star. Richard Newton was born in England in 1813, but his family during his childhood moved to America. He later became an Anglican minister in Philadelphia and was certainly very much in the evangelical school of the Anglican Church. He was referred to by Spurgeon as the Prince of Preachers to the Young, because in his ministry he sought to preach at least one sermon a month for children, and many of those sermons were later put into print. Today I was reading his message on this text, I am the bright and morning star, and apparently during those times when he ministered to children, there could have been up to 500 children listening to these messages. And I tried to picture these eager young listeners, intrigued with what he was saying. And he spoke of how, as he thought of this title, I am the bright and the morning star, that he was brought in his mind to a visit to Switzerland many years before that. And he speaks of how he went to Mont Blanc, the highest peak in the Alps. And as he went there, he had a great desire to see the sun rise over the peak of the mountain. And so after he saw the mountain, the next morning he got up early, between 3 and 4. And he says it was a beautifully clear night, or rather morning, though it was still dark. There was no mist around the mountain and not a cloud in the sky. Right over the top of the mountain I saw the morning star. How calm it seemed there. How soft and silvery was the light it shed. How brightly and beautifully it was shining down on the snowy summit of that great mountain. It was one of the most lovely sights I ever saw. I thought it was worthwhile to go all the way to Switzerland, if there had been nothing else to see there but just that beautiful sight of the morning star above the summit of Mont Blanc. As I walked slowly down the valley looking at that beautiful star, I thought of these sweet words of Jesus, I am the bright and morning star. The sight of that star made me glad. It gave me joy then while I was looking at it, and it gives me joy now when I think about it. The morning star is that star that arises the darkest part of the night, the time before the dawn. And as we think of that, we are reminded of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 30. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so Christ is the bright and morning star. If you turn back with me to Numbers chapter 24, Numbers chapter 24, and we have here in prophecy words that describe Jesus Christ as the star. And though the words were spoken by one who was an unclean vessel, and yet the words here are absolutely true. Numbers chapter 24 and the verse 17, Balaam says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. There shall come a star. And Christ then is that great star that would arise. And it's no mistake that when Christ then was born, that there appeared that star in the sky. Last time I pointed out that in the opening of Matthew's Gospel, Christ is spoken of as the Son of David, And as the book of Revelation comes to a close, we have those words, I am the root and the offspring of David. But then again, in the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 2, we have there the star that signaled the birth of the one who is the star of Jacob. And as the book of Revelation comes to a close, we have that same theme. I am the bright and morning star. And how wonderfully then these passages really tie together, and we have that completeness. Christ, he is the son of David. He is the root and offspring of David. And he is the bright and morning star. As we think of this bright and morning star, and Christ is the bright and morning star, I want to think first of all of the attraction in Christ. For the morning star is the brightest of all the stars. In fact, it's not really a star at all, properly speaking. It's usually the planet Venus. And yet for the one standing on the earth, it certainly appears to be a star. But as the one standing on the earth sees this morning star, he sees it as brighter than all of the other stars. It is greater in its splendor. And the word bright here brings that idea of splendor to our attention. I am the bright and morning star. And when this word that's translated bright is applied to light, it brings out this idea of brightness. But the word can be used in other settings. But wherever it's used, it brings out the idea of splendor. If you look with me in Revelation 19, Revelation 19 and verse 8, it says, to her was arrayed that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And the word white there is this same word bright in the statement, the bright and morning star. And the garments then of the redeemed of the Lord, they are clean and white, or clean and bright. That is, their whiteness is that of splendor. Revelation 22 in the verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the word clear there is this same word bright. And there it has the idea that this is the most splendid water ever seen. And so applied then to the idea of light, it has this idea of brightness and the most splendid. And that is Christ then. He is the most splendid of all the stars, the bright and morning star. I should mention that in the book of Isaiah, Lucifer is referred there to as a star. Isaiah 14 and verse 12, art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And the son of the morning, many take to be a reference to the stars. You know how in Job 38 verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. And there, the sons of God is a reference to the angels. Now, how can Satan be referred to as the son of the morning, the star of the morning, and that same title or a similar title be taken by Christ? Well, there is a sense in which that is not completely unusual. You think of how Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and yet that title, the Lion, is used of Satan in 1 Peter chapter 5, that the devil goes about as a roaring lion. And so in one place Satan is the Lion, and yet in another Christ is the Lion. Thinking of the star, Lucifer is the morning star in the sense that he was the highest of the angels. And I believe that in creation God gave a prominent position to Lucifer, but in his prominence he desired greater. And so he was Lucifer, son of the morning, in that he had this prominent position, but then he lusted after greater. But when we think of the title in relation to Christ, Christ is the bright and morning star, because his excellence is not only greater than the angels, than the created angels, but his excellence is above all things good. We think of Revelation 1 there, the stars are the Lord's servants, and Christ, he outshines, far outshines the greatest of preachers. He is the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. These titles, they emphasize his excellence, his eminence. What beauty there is in him. What brightness there is in him. And amidst all the beauty of glory, there is this most precious jewel, a splendor fairer than all, this one who is the bright and morning star. The hymn writer said, I cannot gaze enough on thee, thou fairest of the fair. My heart is filled with ecstasy, as in thy face of radiancy I see such beauty there. I cannot sing enough of thee. The sweetest name on earth, a note so full of melody, comes to my heart so joyously and fills my soul with mirth. When we think then of this wonderful title, the bright and morning star, we see the attraction of Christ. But then I want to think secondly of the appearance of Christ. For the morning star appears at the darkest hour. And so when the shadows of the night are longest, when the night temperature is at the lowest, in the most gloomiest moment of the night, that is when the day star appears. And what a beautiful description that is of Christ, that in the darkest hour, at the most gloomiest time, that is the time that Christ appears. And thinking then of Christ as the morning star, he appeared as that star in the gloom of ritualistic Judaism. You think of when Israel had gone into empty ritual, it was then the time that the Lord appeared. A time when tradition was exalted above scripture. At a time when the Pharisees were transgressing God's revealed commandments so that they could keep their man-made traditions. At a time when the commandment of God was, in the words of Christ, made of none effect by their tradition. They had taken away the significance of the law. The law was a schoolmaster to lead men and women to Christ, but they sought to make it an instrument of salvation. And it was at such a dark, gloomy hour that the great light, the bright and morning star, appeared. Matthew 4, verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And in the midst of all of that gloom, on account of the falsehood of Judaism at that time, this wonderful day star appeared. Remember how Zechariah prophesied of him, the day spring from on high hath visited us. Christ is this day spring, the bright and morning star. But the Lord not only appeared in that gloomy time of ritualistic Judaism, but we think of how the day star appeared in the gloom and despair of our conviction of sin. And surely in that valley into which we were brought, the gloom and despair over our sin, that was our darkest hour. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul there relates our conversion to the creation story. Remember how in creation there was that void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the voice of God interrupted the darkness. God said, "Let there be light." That same God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness shined in our hearts. And in that time of darkness and gloom, the Lord said, "Let there be light." The bright and morning star appeared. You think of Saul of Tarsus in that time when he was seeking to establish his own righteousness. That time when he was trying to kick against the pricks of conviction. In that dark hour of rebellion, the bright and morning star ministered, and there was that light shone from heaven. You think of the prodigal son. You think of how all of his money had been spent. You think of how his friends had deserted him, friends so called. You think of how the famine had come. He was in want. He was in need. He was in hunger. He was employed by a citizen of that place, but the employer had no real concern for him. And he would have been willing to eat of the pig's food if it had been granted to him. He was certainly in his darkest hour that he had ever experienced. But at that darkest hour, before the dawn of day, suddenly the bright and morning star appeared. He came to himself. Not of his own volition, but the Lord did something in his heart, and his thoughts turned to his Father. And so there was that dark time, but in the midst of the darkness of conviction, there was then the shining of the bright and morning star. But there is another dark hour in which that bright and morning star appears. The hour of great trial for a child of God. If you turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 and the verse 10. Isaiah chapter 50 and the verse 10. It says there, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" And here we have then a mention of someone that truly loves the Lord. It says that he fears the Lord and he obeys the voice of his servant. And he knows Christ then. He fears Christ. He seeks to obey the word of Christ. And while all that is true, this child of God finds himself in a most difficult time. He walks in darkness. A true believer, yet in darkness and has no light. And there are certainly times when God's people can be in deep spiritual depression. Like that time when Elijah was in the cave. He wished that he was dead. Remember how the Lord came and said to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" But then there came the light, the voice of God. There was a fresh commission, a fresh word from God. And there are certainly times that God's people can find themselves there. And maybe you've known something of this, maybe even right now. You fear the Lord, you obey the voice of a servant, but you're in darkness. You can't find the light. God's command there is, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let him not lose faith, let him not lose heart, because the day star will arise afresh. The one who is the bright and morning star will shine again. And the child of God then is exhorted, doubt not. In that despair, the Lord will appear as the bright and morning star. But then we think of the Lord appearing as the bright and morning star in another setting, that is of the world's greatest hour, when the Lord will return. And surely that is what is especially in view here in Revelation 22 as Scripture is being drawn to a close. We have there those great words in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And so we think forward to that future time, and when the world will be in its darkest hour in human history. Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It speaks there of false Christs, of false prophets, of severe deception. We have those words in Matthew 24, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Someone was saying to me last week, seeking to deny the truth of the election of God, that the Bible says that the elect will be deceived before the Lord's return. And I asked him to show me that in Scripture, and he couldn't remember the passage he said, but I was able to tell him what he was referring to and showed him how he had got very wrong, if it were possible. The deception will be so severe that if it were possible, the elect would be deceived. But it's not possible. But the writer there is emphasizing, and it's Christ, of course, emphasizing, that so severe will be the elect, or so severe will be the deception, and the elect will still be there. But so severe it will be that if it were possible, they would be deceived. But we have then in Matthew 24, verse 29, these words: immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And so then it speaks of that dark hour, the sun being darkened, the moon not shining, the stars having fallen from heaven. I personally take the view that that is speaking metaphorically of dark, dark spiritual days. But whatever the sense is there, certainly in the midst of great darkness, the day star shall arise. There will be the rising of the bright and morning star. So we find here there is the attraction in Christ, the appearance of Christ. And then I want to see, thirdly, the assurance from Christ. For the day star is like a herald. It's like a proclamation. Imagine if you had the task of being the watchman in the fourth watch of the night, that period of time when the day star would appear. And how glad you would be to see the day star, because it would assure you that very soon the day will dawn. And so there is at least a twofold assurance in the dawning of the day star. First of all, the night is almost gone. And so the suffering of the night is almost over. The gloom has almost ended. The reign of darkness is almost finished. There is this promise, this assurance, the night is almost gone. But then there is also this promise, the day is about to dawn. While you see the great light of the morning star, a light greater still is about to be seen. And again, as we think of that, I want to think about it in that fourfold way that I've just mentioned. The Lord's appearance in the incarnation. When the Lord appeared in his incarnation as that bright and morning star, was there not a herald of a brighter day? And so when the Lord came then as that babe in Bethlehem, and there was there a great promise that a brighter day was indeed dawning. The age of signs and symbols was almost over. The ceremonial law was about to be fulfilled. And the appearance then of Christ as the bright and morning star was that indication that the full light of the gospel was about to be seen. It's very interesting that in the Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, it bears the title to the chief musician upon Ajaleth Shahar, or to the chief musician upon the Hind of the Morning. And surely there is a similar theme between the Hind of the Morning and the bright and morning star. The cross work of Christ is an indication of a brighter day. The resurrection brought brighter light. And you know how through the Lord's ministry, when the Lord spoke of the cross, the disciples couldn't understand. Yet after the cross and after the resurrection, their understanding was opened. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, there was the dawn of a great gospel day, the darkness of heathenism being dispelled. And so the appearance of the bright and morning star in the Lord's incarnation was the indication of the coming of the bright gospel day. Then we think also of the Lord's appearance in our conversion. And Christ appeared that day of our conversion as the morning star. We saw his great brilliance. But yet that day that we saw Christ for the first time in truth, while he was too, says the bright and morning star, surely we can say that today we have been led into greater light. What we saw that first day was not the end of our spiritual experience, but the longer we have walked with the Lord, the more that we have learnt of him, the brighter he shines. Then we think thirdly of the Lord's appearance to a despairing saint. Surely when the Lord appears to a despairing saint as the bright and morning star, there is the promise of a brighter and better day. Now you think of that morning when the Lord gave the breakfast meal to the disciples on the shores of Galilee, that meal that took place sometime after the resurrection. And remember how for Peter, that must have been a dark hour, as he had wept over his denial of the Lord. And then the Lord came and asked that question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" What darkness. And Peter, as he contemplated how he had failed the Lord, there came that appearance of the bright and morning star, where there was that fresh commission, "Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And the coming there of Christ as the bright and morning star was certainly the indication of a brighter day, for the Lord mightily took Peter and used him for the opening up of that door of the gospel for the reaching of the Gentiles. But then there is the appearance of the bright and morning star in the Lord's great return. And as the Lord will appear as the bright and morning star, he will also be the Sun of Righteousness, who will arise with healing in his wings. And the one who is then the morning star is also that full sun in the fullest splendor, the fullest glory. And as we one day then will see Christ come as the bright and morning star, there will be the bringing in to the full light. Never to be in darkness again, we will be delivered from all darkness, delivered from all tears, delivered from all suffering, delivered from our lack of understanding. And the Lord is both the star and the sun. Before we bring this to a close, I want to bring out just a few points of application. I want to think, first of all, in applying this, let us look for the Lord's appearing as the bright and morning star. The fact that there are events still to take place before the Lord's return does not hinder us from earnestly looking for the Lord's coming. And so as we think, for example, of how the Word of God has spoken that Every people group is to be reached, and that has not yet taken place. So there are events that must yet be fulfilled. And yet the Lord says, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come without delay." And we are to live as if the Lord's appearance is immediate, that the Lord would suddenly come. There is to be that earnest looking for the bright and morning star. We are to live every day as if it were our last, living with that earnest yearning for the Lord's return. Let us look for the Lord's appearing as a bright and morning star. Then secondly, let us seek to overcome sin. If you turn back with me to Revelation chapter 2, and we have here an earlier reference in the book of Revelation to the morning star. And here we have the letter to the church of Thyatira. And in verse 28, it says there, "And I will give him the morning star." And the morning star is to be given, in accordance with verse 26, "to him that overcometh." To him that overcometh, I will give him the morning star. Remember, Christ is the speaker. The one who said, "I am the bright and morning star," says, "I will give to the one that overcomes the morning star." He is both the giver and the gift. And like so many of these overcome statements in the letters, the Lord was saying, "I will give myself. Now, I will give thee full portion of myself, that you might completely and eternally enjoy the fullness and the riches of Christ." Now, when the Lord was writing or speaking to the church of Thyatira, and John was recording the letter, it says there in verse 20 that one of the failures of this church, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And here there was this false teacher then, and she is likened unto Jezebel, or a false teaching that is likened unto Jezebel, that resulted in spiritual fornication. And while this had come into the church, there was some toleration of it. There was some compromise in that the teaching and the false teachers were not immediately driven out. Surely then, the command is, overcome, deal with compromise, get rid of falsehood, whether that's in the church or whether that is in our own lives. If you turn with me to Titus chapter 2, and we have this idea of light in association with the idea of holiness. Titus chapter 2 and the verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and the verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world." And there's an exhortation there in verse 12 to holy living right now. Verse 13, "looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ." And tying that in then with Revelation 22:17, as we look for the dawning of the bright and morning star, we are to live holily. We are to be that peculiar people in verse 14, zealous of good works. If you look with me in 1 John chapter 2, again, we have here the idea of light and holiness tied together. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. If we are truly in the light, if Christ is truly our bright and morning star, then we are to walk in the light. There is to be a laying aside of the darkness of night. Ye are the children of light, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, and the children of the day. Let us walk as such. Let us seek to overcome sin. But then, finally, we can learn from this great statement, I am the bright and morning star, that we are to trust in the Lord's providences. For as we live in this day, there is still a measure of darkness. And so then, as we think of Christ who says, I am the bright and morning star, there is still a measure of darkness around us. There is still that darkness that Peter speaks of in 1 Peter 5 that will pervade right until the day star arises. We do not understand then in this time, we do not always understand the ways of the Lord. There are things that we cannot fully understand. And while we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, there are times that we find it perhaps hard to grasp that, for our way seems to be a way of darkness. But in such a time, let us trust in the Lord's providence. Let us rest upon Him, for the light will come. All the darkness will indeed be dispelled. The one who is the bright and morning star will appear as the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. We trust the Lord will take these words and bless them to all of our hearts.
Amen. Amen.